Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
Well, almost. We got two of the three here, but not the third one. The little guy's stroking the golf ball and having an enjoyable vacation.
Good for him.
And aren't we happy for him, because he and his cousin Vinny, the original cousin Vinny, are out on the California coast. They had a great day yesterday, and we're just so excited for Randy to get a break. And he's got about 10 jobs, Mark.
He does. I guess he wakes up every morning, looks at his calendar, goes, all right, where am I working today?
Yeah, probably. He's in the restaurant business. He's in the big machine business. He's in the radio business. He's in the golf business. And
a man's not afraid to work.
No, he's not. He's not afraid to work. We want to welcome you this Saturday morning, a beautiful Saturday morning in Mobile, Alabama. And this is the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai studios. And not the Genesis Room today, but we are in our studios here in Mobile. But we miss our Toyota and Hyundai people. We always do. Especially when Stanton comes in.
We love seeing. When Stanton comes in, you know you're going to get a story.
Yeah, it's a good
Some story. You never know where it's going.
That's right.
But it's always a good one.
Or where it's been.
Or where it's been. That's right.
That's right. You know, Mark, we've had a rough couple of weeks here. We really have. We lost two outstanding young people in a tragic fire. And put those two young men to rest this past week. John and Lauren Hensley, and Mark and Hilton Mosteller. And, of course, we lost McNeil. And, boy, I'm telling you, what a tough loss that was for all of us at UMS Wright. And the Hensleys, of course, lost a wonderful young man in Walter that was an integral part of that athletic program. He and his two brothers, his older brothers, I got a blessing talking to Ham Barnett, talking about the Hensley boys, and especially what a blessing they were to him as a coach. And Mark, you've lost players, you've lost them, and I've lost them, and we're a very small part of that. It's the families that actually lose them, but they become such an integral part of our human, of our being.
That's right.
It's tough. It's tough as a coach.
It's very tough. You know, and it's the thing for me is anytime anything like that happens, my first reaction is I want to find my children.
Yeah.
And I want to hug them.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to hug them, put my hands on them, hear their voice.
Yep.
You know, talk to them. Because, you know, like we've said on this show every single day, we are not guaranteed tomorrow.
No, sir.
We're just not. And as tough as that may sound, it makes us live in the present.
It does.
And so for these two families, you know, now going forward, what are friends and family going to do?
That's right.
Because the tough times are still ahead.
Amen.
Right now it's hard and it's raw, but there's going to be times ahead. You know, we have friends and we've lost friends. And when we think about it, you know, on this certain day, boy, it's a tough day.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there's going to be days like that for both of those families. And all we can do is, you know, pray for them, be there for them in any way, shape or form. And that's what friends and family are supposed to be able to do at this time. And then just be there and just be. You don't have to say anything.
That's right.
Just be.
Because you just really don't know what to say.
You don't.
You just don't.
I don't know how they honestly feel.
No.
I can imagine, but I honestly don't know.
Well, they have great foundations, both of the families. And we lift them up in prayer.
That's right.
And got to be there. We need to be there. And I think God calls us to be there for these people when they go through these type of tragedies in life. And I know that the UMS Wright family and the St. Paul's family is committed to doing that.
There's no doubt.
Just to continue to be there And but it is. It's been a rough week. It's a lot of kids too. Lots and lots of kids that lost their lost their dear friends.
Right.
And two of the young men that did survive, William Tanner and Bo Carrington, jumped out of a second floor window. They're both got some injuries, but they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay, and we want to remember their families too, and both those young people, and undergird them with prayer as well. Football. What's going on with football right now? You know, when you get disconnected, I want to thank Sam Williams. Sam Williams keeps me posted with huddle pictures and videos, and so I get a chance to kind of see what's going on at our school. Well, what's going on at Bayside?
Well, we've had this week off. This is our week, 4th of July week break for the boys, and we've had a really good summer, and we'll crank back up Monday morning, getting going again. I think we've got two 7-on-7 events, one at St. Paul's and I think one at Daphne.
Yeah.
And there's big man work, I think, at Daphne where the linemen get together.
Yeah.
And they got some things going on. So that's coming up this week. And then the week after that is the High School Athletic Association All-Star Week in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And so all competition shuts down during that week. And our actual practice, we won't work out on Thursday. We'll all be in Montgomery.
Am I incorrect that we've changed that rule about in-house work during All-Star Week?
Now, you can still do all your in-house. You can go do whatever you normally do. You just can't compete.
Can't compete
against
that week.
One another.
Right. But during that week, you can do everything. You know, at one time, that was a dead week.
Yeah.
Years ago, that was a dead week.
Yeah.
We couldn't do anything.
Kids
had to be off, and we were all in Montgomery anyway. And I think that's good. There's some coaches that don't go. And I recommend that every coach goes.
You need to go. I mean, I think you need to go every year or as much as you can. It's a great place to go see coaches and old friends and people, but it's also a time to learn some things.
Amen.
You don't have to sit in a meeting to learn something.
Yeah.
You can sit out there at the coffee table and have a chat with somebody and say, Coach, what do y'all do in this instance?
Yeah.
How do y'all put together your off-season program? What do you do when these kind of things arise? Just get other coaches. I mean, there is a wealth of knowledge running around in those rooms that you can just sit down and ask them, and they'll tell you. And it may help your program, may help you as a coach.
You know, I wonder, now that public and private are separate, I bet there'll be a lot of good conversations between private and public coaches, kind of giving them things that they've seen that they do that may help them by correcting some things that they may have seen from the public side that the private was doing. If you're playing them during the season,
right.
For example, you played, who's a public school that you played every year at Bayside?
T.R. Miller.
Well, when Jamie was there, now Ronnie Cottrell, you might sit down with Ronnie Cottrell and they may say, look, we saw this and we picked it up and we felt like we were able to exploit that against you. And you may be able to tell him the same thing about something that they do. No, we're not playing for state championships anymore. And we're not, most of them may not even be playing each other anymore. So I thought about that at some point. I've thought about that where you might get together with the different sides since we're separate now. So
it ought to be an interesting day because there's going to be some conversations about the split.
This
is the first time really everybody's all been together since the
That's
split
right.
and
yeah.
so I think there'll be some interesting conversations about it, but I mean, for the most part, I think it's a great time to share ideas with one another. And hey, what did y'all kept stopping this play we were running, what did y'all say?
Yeah.
You know,
that's a good point.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk a little bit about public and private when we come back because I really want to get into that. We're going to get into it for about 2 hours one Saturday. We're just going to have a whole show on it because there's a lot of people out there that don't understand it.
Right.
Don't know what's going on. And we'll get the private school, get Buster Daniels on with us. We'll get our representative from here. and we'll go with it and see what happens with that. You're listening to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report on a beautiful Saturday, July the 11th, 2026. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland. Randy Bergen, he ain't on assignment.
Parts unknown.
Man, he's in California, and he is stroking that golf ball probably more times than he wants to. We'll return when we return. More PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now back to the show.
I seen your picture.
I keep it with your letters.
I know you do. I got to notice it. Paul Benefield, who you and I are both big, think the world of Paul, up at Fife. And they're going to kick off the season against Central Clay and Danny Horn. That's two of the winningest coaches in the state right now. And that should be a...
All right, first of all, let's take the over-under on how many passes will be thrown.
That's right.
In the game.
Okay.
I mean, I'm thinking three.
By both teams, a total.
Total.
Mark, it'll be less than five.
It will be.
I can promise you. Ain't neither one of them going to throw the football.
As David Faulkner told me one time years ago when I was we have just started coaching it. I was just got the job at Alma Bryant.
Right.
We were watching an old film from Ben Russell in our state championship run. We were watching it, and he goes, well, it was against Tuscaloosa County. Yeah. Bobby Moore was
Bobby Moore.
He was running a broken wishbone type deal.
He sure was.
And David Faulkner looked at it, and he goes, y'all could have played that game under a flashlight. Because everybody was compacted into right there. I mean, and it was. We were running wing tee, and they were running wishbone. And and that's what we – but that game, the Fife and Clay County game, that'll be a that will be under a flashlight.
It will.
Because there will be nothing – it'll be, as we like to call them, a slobber knocker.
It is a slobber knocker. And I love you mentioning Bobby Moore. Bobby Moore. I got tickled at Bobby Moore one time. It was third and 39 or something. I ain't throwing the football. There's only one good thing that can happen if that happens. And there's two or three other things bad that can happen.
That's right. But
Bobby did not want to throw the football. Great football coach and had a great run there at Tuscaloosa County. But they're going to meet. Opening week, what is that? That's August 21st. They'll be playing over in Lineville. Yeah, and
that's a great opening game.
It is.
I mean, that's two storied programs, two of the best coaches in the state. And what I like about both of those men is that they do it their way.
Oh, no doubt.
They're going to do it their way. Right. They don't care what the trend is or what's trendy or what's the. They're going to line up and come at you with what they got and. And that's what they're going to do, and they're not going to change from it. They believe in it. And those kids that play for those guys would run through a wall for them.
No doubt. And, Mark, you know the thing that gets me about Fife? First quarter, they'll run that wing tee. They may make a first down every once in a while. It doesn't bother them because all they're doing is sitting over there and they're figuring out what is going to work. And by the time you get about midway through the second quarter – they got you hunkered down. They know what you're doing. And then they're running all kind of stuff, one way or the other, backwards and forwards, running all those plays that y'all call whatever you call them. My goodness gracious alive, Paul Fife is a magician with that offense.
And he had gotten to where he had kind of changed that. Still, all the front blocking is a lot of wing tee stuff.
Yeah.
But they got into this just power formation, snapping it back to the running back. There really isn't a quarterback.
Right.
It's just this running back there, and that's usually also their inside linebacker.
Right.
He's usually a big dog.
Yeah.
And he just brings it up in there every single play, and it's not real fancy, but they do have a little things that come off of it. And if he ever throws the ball, the whole crowd just goes quiet.
And you're usually the receiver's
wide open.
I mean, he's sitting out there by himself trying to get a Christmas card.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch.
It is fun to watch, I'm telling you. Oh, different bracket this year. There is no 7A. Public schools got the 6A are the largest schools. And the thing about it is, in 7A, there were just a minimal number of teams that got to go to the playoffs. And now 16 of the 24 teams in 6A are going to be able to go. That's not true. 16, there's only 32, right, in 6A, like there was in 7A. And 6 teams from each of the four regions will make the playoffs, with the top two teams from each region receiving a first-round bye. That's new.
It is. I hadn't even looked at the public school stuff yet.
Well, there's no sense in it. We're not in part of it anymore.
No.
You know, you know that we're going to get Danny Cordy on Southern Fairways this morning. I don't even know what they're going to name the Super 7 now. We're going to play 12 games. We're going to play 6 public, 2 private, and 4 flag footballs. So what are we going to call it? The Happy Dozen? I don't
know. I have no idea.
And is Thompson, are they going to play in the state championship game again after they've played in 8 in a row? They've won 6 of them, by the way.
That's a pretty good chance they'll be in it.
Central Phoenix City, with a new football coach who's come over from Jackson, was formerly an assistant. Right. And they've played in 5 7A games. He's got a mark on his shoulder. I mean, he better be able to do what he needs to do to get to where he needs to get to in that state championship.
I think 6A could prove to be a little bit more – I think the way it's set now, all of those big-time schools, those 6A and 7A programs, are pretty much mashed in there together. Yeah. Is Mountain Brook still 6A?
No, they'll be Clay 5A now.
Is Clay Chalkville 6A?
Clay Chalkville's 5A now.
Okay, well, then that doesn't change.
See, everybody just drops down. It's what you go from 7A. Now the 7As are 6A. All the 6As are 5As. And so
it really didn't change a whole lot.
No, it didn't change a whole lot. But now Thompson's still got to try to beat Clay Chalkville. I think Clay Chalkville's beat them the last 2 years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So that's a big game for them. Another thing, how's it going to work out? Super whatever, Happy 12 is
– Happy Dozen.
Yeah, Happy
Sheila
Dozen.
Sheila Lee just didn't text. Said dozen. Happy Dozen.
The Happy Dozen. Hancock Whitney's hosting it this year, and it's 5 days. It's not 4, so –
picked a good year to get it.
They sure did. Picked a great year to get it.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, I'm
with looking, all those kids playing there and having all those games. That part, I think, is really good.
Yeah.
I really do. I think that's a good thing to have those many state championships.
Yep.
I'm really excited about the number of flag football teams we've got playing in Alabama now. Yeah. And that's a growing sport.
Man, I'm telling you, girls – flag football, and there's a boatload of young ladies being recruited to play at the next level. And that you know, we're trying to get one of our buddies over in Phoenix City, as a matter of fact, is trying to get junior college football into Alabama. I don't know if that's ever got. I would love to see that.
I would have loved it. Years I've thought that was a mistake that we don't have that.
And Mississippi kind of gets. You know, we can't get very many players in Mississippi. They can only take X number of out-of-state players.
That's right.
And now flag football, I think they've adopted it already in junior college, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's wonderful for girls, just absolutely wonderful. And you can see some really outstanding talent. Those young ladies can play.
They can. It's fun to watch.
It is fun to watch.
I got to go watch. I told you I went to that first state championship game.
Yeah, yeah.
That first one that year.
Yeah.
And I got to go watch it, and that was my – see, how would it, she is my cousin's daughter.
Yeah.
All right? Was the quarterback at Smith Station.
Yeah.
And I got to go watch her play.
And she could play.
Yes, she could.
I can't
She's a good – she was a softball player.
Right.
But she played flag football, and that was the inaugural year. And but it was a great game watching them kids get after it, and those girls got after it. I mean,
they compete.
They didn't back up, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
That same thing with wrestling now.
Yeah,
you watch them wrestle.
Yeah,
and that's something to watch too because they really get.
They
after
really
it too.
Get
that's,
after
that's
it.
Big time. So, get a chance to watch that. So, you know, we'll call it the happy dozen, whatever. We'll see what Danny thinks about that. maybe we'll give us some residuals here at PSR
there you go.
For that name. By the way, I wanted to remind you, if you have a fender bender, you got to go see our buddies at Premier Collision. Chris and Kim and Tyler, they're there Monday through Friday. You walk in Premier Collision, you're going to feel like you're at a family reunion. They're ready to help you to do everything they can to make whatever happened, make it like brand new. They've done it for Mark. They've done it for Randy. And they've done it for us. Premier Collision, 1177 Sledge Drive, 251-478-4500. We're just waiting on to bring some cream corn in because it's like a family reunion.
That's every right.
Time right there. When we come back, we'll talk to Catherine Spurgeon. We love Catherine Spurgeon, Green and Phillips. And Mark's going to ask her a really hard question today, so we'll kick it off with that right here on Thompson Tractor BSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. To the show.
I wonder if Catherine Spurgeon knows who Michael McDonald or Boz Scaggs or Steely Dan. She's a young lady now, and I'm telling you, she probably doesn't know who any of these people are. She probably knows who the Black Crowes are and some of those
others. Well,
other
maybe ones. She does, Kyle.
You think?
Yeah, you never know.
You think she might be a country western girl.
Could be.
Or she may like Train. Train's in concert at the Wharf this weekend.
Who?
Train. Train. You don't know who Train
I don't know who Train
no,
is.
No, my goodness.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
I don't either, Mark. Steve does. Good morning, Catherine. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you for asking. How are you?
We're great. Tell us a little bit about your music, what you really love.
You know, I like Train. Train is a great artist.
Yeah.
Or band, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't think, see, the thing is, I don't think y'all would know who I'm talking about.
I have no clue who Train is. Sorry.
I rode a train one time.
Are Thoughts of Jupiter?
Thoughts
of Jupiter. That's a very popular song.
No.
Thoughts of Jupiter? No.
Oh, my goodness. No. I think you would recognize it if you heard it.
Maybe.
Okay.
All right. Well, do you know Boz Scaggs?
No, I can't say.
Do you know
I don't think so.
Steely Dan?
I don't think so. Y'all are giving yourselves away more than me. That's
no,
all right.
No,
not us.
No,
we
Catherine.
Would never do that, Catherine. Come on.
Do you know who the Eagles are?
Of course. The Eagles, yes, we can get behind that one.
Okay,
that's
good.
It, that's a classic.
There we go.
Let me tell you a trip you need to make on Green and Phillips, okay? Go to Vegas.
Okay.
And go to the, what's my place out there? The Sphere.
Yes, I've heard of it. I haven't been, but I've heard of it.
Well, you got to go, Catherine. You just got to go. And I'm going to put that
in. You know
what?
Twist my arm.
Yeah, I will. You know, one of the things we love about Catherine is that she's always going to give us either a player of the week or a player of the year, and then we're gonna try to set her up on a question that I almost forgot it last week, Mark. I almost forgot it. I really did. But this week, we're going to do the AHSAA Radio Network, Coastal Alabama, Player of the Boys Golf, Player of the Year presented by Green and Phillips. And Catherine's going to be the one to tell us about that. And then, Mark, you get to try to set her up with a question that I know she can answer.
I know.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, Catherine, tell us who the Player of the Year is.
Yes, the big reveal, the high school male golfer of the year is UMS Wright sophomore Henry Brown. And Henry played the entire season in the number one spot for the Bulldogs, posting an outstanding tournament scoring average of 71.06. Over 16 rounds of competition, he finished a combined 15 under par with four rounds in the 60s. He's been playing for Coach Brent Doherty, and Henry helped keep UMS right among the state's perennial championship contenders. And at this year's 7A state tournament at Magnolia Grove in Mobile, Henry fired rounds of 67 and 69 to finish runner-up at 8 under par. Wow. And it's awesome because he still has two more years to play at UMS, so he is certainly, you know, poised to remain one of the state's top high school golfers. So huge congratulations to Henry Brown from UMS, and I'm excited to continue to see what he does here.
Did you notice he's poised?
Yes.
To be, I love that.
I do too.
That's coming from a legal background term. Poised. All right, Mark.
But I'll tell you what. Now, Henry Brown, the only thing better about him than his golf game is the person that he is.
Oh, he's a great kid.
He is a great kid. I've got to know a little bit to know him over the last couple of years watching him play, yeah. And he's all the things you want in a son and a teammate. I mean, yeah. He's that kind of guy. So
his whole family, all the guys in his family are big time good golfers. Yeah.
Well, kudos to him, and we appreciate that. Catherine, I'm going to ask you a question. What?
Okay.
And it doesn't have anything to do with Boss Skaggs or Steely Dan. Okay. All right. Here we go. What makes an 18-wheeler accident different from a typical car accident?
That is a good question. And, you know, a big truck or 18-wheeler accident is very different than a normal car wreck because, first of all, the injuries are very often much more serious just due to the sheer size and weight of a commercial truck. But they're also, these kind of cases can also be more complex because oftentimes there are multiple parties, responsible parties involved, including, of course, the truck driver, the trucking company, then a maintenance provider could be brought in, or even the company that loaded up the trailer. So on top of that, it's super important to get evidence and trucking records preserved very quickly after the accident. And so if, God forbid, anybody's involved in an accident involving an 18-wheeler or a big truck, you really should contact a local personal injury attorney, like the attorneys at Green & Phillips, as soon as possible, because these cases, like I said, the evidence needs to be preserved ASAP.
Catherine, we have a boatload of people who listen to us in the Birmingham area. You need to tell them about our new location there.
Yes, and I love that you said our new location, Rick. You're part of the team. We have the Birmingham office. We just recently moved into Watts Tower in historic downtown Birmingham. The address is 301 20th Street North. And you can also call or text anytime, 205-500-4000. That's our Birmingham number. And then, of course, Mobile, 51 North Florida Street in Midtown, right across the street from Butch Cassidy's. And the Mobile number is 251-300-2000. And you can call or text that number 24/7 as well.
That's pretty good stuff, Catherine. Listen, for your, you know, we're going to pay you for being here today. We're going to give you 2 tickets to the next Boz Skaggs show in Biloxi. And so just look for that in the mail. That could come in, Boz is 81 years old, but that could come in the next 5 years, or it may not come. But just look for that in the mail.
Well, I'll be on the edge of my seat in the meantime.
Catherine, thank you so much, darling. You have a wonderful day. We appreciate everything Green & Phillips does to support high school sports, both academically and athletically, and we sure appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for letting us be a part of it. We'll talk soon.
Talk soon.
Thank you.
I love Catherine. She's always up.
Yeah.
She's just always peppy and up. And you go by Green & Phillips and you see her and she's running, yeah, 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 yeah. She's going left and right, 90 miles an hour. So we love having both her and David on. Both she and David. I think that's the right pronunciation.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it probably is. We were talking a little bit about Happy 12 or the Happy Dozen or whatever we're going to call it. And, you know, it's going to be a first for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's going to be in Mobile. Just look at what that's going to do for the University of South Alabama.
Yes.
I mean, if they get, what, maybe 25 students that really love the place, that's something. And we have a new athletic director, an interim athletic director, Joel Erdman, has retired at South Alabama after a wonderful career there. So I just think it's going to be a big coup for University of South Alabama.
Oh, I do too. I think it's a great I think it's a, first of all, it's a great venue.
Yep.
It's a great place to have this championship. It's a great place to have the first one of this magnitude.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a great place to bring it to Mobile. Mobile has so much to offer for people who come and visit and come down. They got, we have all kind of great places to eat.
Yeah.
We got plenty of lodging, plenty, and then it's, you know, it's not far. A lot of folks may take a trip down to the beach after the game's over, you know, or if their part's over, they may get to go down and just hang out for a couple of days. But it's a great, great venue. And for them to bring 12 teams, there's no telling how many thousands of people that's going to bring to Mobile and to South Alabama. And to have a chance for South Alabama to really shine and make itself available to all of these people, that they're going to get some students out of it. It'll be a great opportunity for all of us.
You know, for a long time, it was at Alabama and Auburn, and great venues. Stadiums may be a quarter full. Is that right?
Yeah.
We always wondered why Jacksonville and Troy, why those schools were not a part of that, like South Alabama is now. You would really fill up. Jacksonville State's a great, great location. Only problem, I don't know how many motels.
That's the key.
That's the key.
Yes.
And and Troy, I think, would be the same problem.
Same way. Alabama.
Yeah.
You could have possibly done it at Samford University.
That's true.
You know, may have been a possibility.
It's Seibert Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know. That's not a bit huge stadium. I think it would have been big enough to house that.
Yeah.
But you know, parking is an issue there.
That's a problem.
So there's a lot of things that has to be looked at on the periphery. Looking outside, you have to kind of see what. But the like Jacksonville and Troy, North Alabama, great places to play football. But for this amount of people, they just don't have the infrastructure to handle it.
One of the places that I'm hearing that we may play some of the private school state playoff games is at the new facility in Millbrook. Now, if you're up that way, if you're in Montgomery, Prattville, or in that area, and I forget the name of it, I know it well, but it escapes me right now. They have built an amazing sports complex there in Millbrook, Alabama, right where Stanhope Elmore in that area. And I understand that there's going to be some private school playoff games played in that arena. So we'll see how that works.
That'd be great. I don't know anything about it. I do know that in Georgia, like they go to the Superdome.
Mercedes-Benz, yeah.
Whatever that dome is there, they go to in Atlanta for the semifinals.
Right.
And play this. Then the finals go back to the home schools,
which
I think is really cool.
Pretty cool.
And what they did for that is they get more teams. You got all kind of games coming in there and they played it all on turf, so it didn't bother the field. So
start
on Thursday, play through Saturday, got a lot of ball games.
Interesting concept. Hey, Legend Series, hey, you basketball fans, you want to hear this guy. Owen Butts, just recently inducted into the Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame, longtime Shades Valley High School basketball coach, also was an assistant to the last undefeated team that won a state tournament. Oh, we got Kate Woods coming up. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get ahead of us.
You're just jumping around there.
Kate Wood, presented by Will 2, right here on PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Rick Cleveland, Mark Lassiter. Now, the five Alabama high school head coaches were honored by Max Prep as part of its High School Coaching 100 list for the 2025-2026 season. And this list included coaches who distinguished themselves through exceptional success, sustained excellence, and noteworthy achievements during the school year. We have the honor of speaking with one of those five coaches this morning who's a regular on our PSR during volleyball season, and I predict she's going to be a regular on as long as she wants to, because I think that that's a dynasty over there, Mark.
It is.
That is a dynasty. But Kate Wood, thank you for joining us this morning, and congratulations on being selected for this outstanding award.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You probably didn't even know it. You've been traveling.
I've been out a lot this summer. And, a colleague said congratulations on that award or something. And I said, I'm not sure what you're talking about. So I didn't know what he was. So anyway, yeah, Coach Murphy let me in on that award. So there you go.
You know, Coach, coming up at this season, it's going to be very different in some ways. But I wanted to ask you about your actual schedule. Will y'all still go to the tournaments that you normally go to,
yes,
that you've been going to for years? Tell us a little, yes, bit about your scheduling coming up after this. And folks, what we're doing, we're talking a little bit about the split of private and public school and how it may have affected scheduling. But some sports it's not affecting at all.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you about that, Coach.
Yeah. The only thing it really affected was the end, which, we were disappointed to not get to stay in the top class. Me personally, I was disappointed, but the cool thing is that we can still play anyone we want, like we had previously. And so I scheduled the exact same that I had every year that I've been here. So we'll travel to some big events. We'll go to all the big Alabama events, and we're going to open up in a rematch with Thompson. That was the state final. So we're going to open in a rematch against Thompson at Hoover. That's great. Spain Park is going to come down to us this year. Going to play a cool match during the school day. And then, just playing like the local powerhouses around here, like Spanish Fort is going to be really, really good this year. So they're on the schedule. We always play Bayside. So, Fairland, we'll play those guys. So the schedule for me did not change. It's just the end.
We're talking to Kate Wood, who, by the way, is presented by our good friends at Will Too. And, Kate, one of the things that I think a lot of people are concerned about is the competitiveness of private school sports, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, softball. Where does that play into your train of thought as a coach at a perennial power, a Southeastern power? Where does that play into your train of thought?
What do you mean?
Well, your competition is not going to feature the Thompsons. It's not going to feature the Spain Parks. It's going to feature the private schools that may or may not have reached the level that the Dirty Dozen have reached.
Right. Well, I think it's an opportunity, for us to still get to play all those teams. Like I said, we're gonna schedule them. We're gonna play them. So I think for me as a coach, it's just up to me to lead this team in a way that still makes it all very meaningful, regardless of who you're playing at the end, because that is 100% out of our control.
Right.
And as a coach, you talk about that a lot, right? Yeah. Like you control what you can, but we cannot control that. And so what we can control is our that mindset that we're going to train really hard, that we're going to be excellent. And so that hasn't changed. Like our summer training is the same as it always has been. So nothing for me is really changing. I understand the last couple of weeks in the playoffs is changing. But we are going to make this, we want to keep the legacy of the Dirty Dozen. We want to make sure that like those former women who have done this stay like proud of what we are, and that's really important to me. So I know that regardless of how it's split off, that we'll be able to obtain that.
You know, I think one of the things you just mentioned, and we're talking to Kate Wood, the McGill volleyball coach who has just been recognized as one of the top high school coaches. It's a coaching list that Max Prep puts out, and certainly deserves that. I think it's your four straight 7A. You were 47-2 this last year.
And, yes, sir.
And I mean, I wonder about intersectional play. We're doing so much of that in other sports. How much of that goes into your scheduling? Or are you basically from the northern part of Alabama all the way to the southern part?
Yes, no, I'm going north to south, and then we will also go out of state. So we're going to go back to Texas. We're going to play in an event.
Good.
Early in the season. We got invited to an event in Florida.
Right.
That's a new event, so we're going to try that. Just 16 teams. We're going to find the best teams we can to play.
So you're doing intersectional play just like a lot of other schools are doing
as far as other
sports.
Absolutely.
And that's good.
Absolutely.
That really, I think, gives you a and I'm not looking for an advantage. And I mean, you're just trying to get the best competition you can get.
That's right.
I think that's utmost in your thoughts. Talk about players that you've got returning that you're excited about and maybe some new faces on the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, we graduated a really good class, and we've got a great senior class coming in. So my daughter Alice Wood is one of the seniors. Emmy Beach, an outside attacker, will have a more prominent role this year. Caitlin Miller is a returning starter, middle blocker, and Camille Frondahl. Those are my seniors. We've got a junior, Michaela Johnson. She's a dual sport athlete, plays basketball. She should have a more prominent role this year. She actually just signed a verbal commitment to go play volleyball at A&M. So that was a huge, exciting time for her this summer. And so we see her doing really well. And then we've got Emmy Latrell. We got more juniors that are returning, Hannah Hodges. And we'll kind of figure that out. And we have a sophomore class that's coming in some of those guys will play a big role quick. And so we'll see, you know, what they can do. We are trying to grow them up. I could see us having some lumps early, and then just keep, you know, our goal is to always be really good at the end. So.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for taking time out. I know you've been traveling on the road, you and your daughter, and I'm glad you had safe travels, but we're looking forward
thank
to
you.
A great summer for you ladies, and you know we'll be in touch. Take care.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Take care. It's Kate Wood.
All right.
Presented by Will, too. And we really appreciate her jumping on this morning because she has been traveling, playing some volleyball with her daughter. So when we return, we will now do the Legend Series with Owen Butts, former head coach at, some great high schools, but most notably, he was an assistant on an undefeated high school basketball team that won the state championship, the last one, as a matter of fact, when we returned to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency. Now for Hour 2, here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Mark Lasseter.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor PSR Prep Sports Report, presented by the Hayden Williams Alpha Insurance Agency, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located this morning right here in Mobile, Alabama, in the heart of Mobile, Alabama, which, by the way, for you folks out of state, all over the state, it is the home of Mardi Gras. That's history for you, Mark.
There you go.
Mark Lasseter, Rick Cleveland. The Legend Series continues and is presented by our good friends at Roy Lewis Construction. This particular segment is. And we're visiting with Owen Butts, who is a legend. I can promise you that, not only as a coach, but as an official. And you could probably put him in there, too, as a softball player. He probably needs to be in the Alabama whatever Softball Association Hall of Fame. Slow pitch softball, the guy hit it a mile, hit it a ton. Good morning, Coach. How you doing?
Good morning.
We hope you are doing well. The Robert E. Lee graduate and first started his coaching career at Vinson High School over in Shelby County. I got to go through Harpersville to get to Vinson, if I remember correctly. But tell us a little bit about your first job, Coach.
Lord, that's so long ago. I graduated from Mono Valley in 73 and got the job, and I guess 2 months later at Vinson, and all in Shelby County people helped me get it, and it was a little bit different. It was, that was a time of integration, and You know, the blacks and the whites got along just fine in Vincent and Harkersville and all that down through there. But, you know, the private schools, the AISA schools were big back then. And so, you know, we had to go through that. So it was a unique experience that first couple of years of being in Vincent.
You know, when you look at that, there was a private school, Coosa Valley Academy's right there, wasn't it? I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
They were right there. Go ahead.
In fact, we lived in a trailer. Me and my wife lived in the trailer, and we lived right across the street in Coosa Valley there in Harpersville, so it was fun.
It's fun. So you spent 2 years there, I think, and then you moved on to Pelham. You spent three at Vincent? And or whatever, but you moved to Pelham High School, and that was a little different cultural shock from Vincent to Pelham, wasn't it?
It was still in Shelby County, but yet it was they had just begun the school a year before and had a ninth grade class. So when me and Herman asked me to go with him as a football coach, he was a football coach, and I was going to go with a basketball coach, and he. All we had was 10th grade class, the highest class we had. So I went there for 2 years. I had a 10th and 11th grade class. And so it was off of Thompson High School.
Yeah.
So it was the Northern Shelby County group. Yes, it was unique because you were forming a program that had not had a program there. And the young men there and the young women there were coming through a program that they were the seniors as a ninth grader, you know. So it was unbelievable.
You know, Coach, when I first started coaching was in 1982, and my first job was at Hewitt Trussville Junior High School, and I mean, back then, that's before they called them middle school, it was a junior high, and you were coaching then at Shades Valley, if I'm not mistaken, and that's the first time I ever met you was at a basketball game somewhere up there, and I got to meet you and watch your team's play. But you also were the defensive coordinator, and I think for Robert Higginbotham there at Shades Valley. And tell us a little bit about that experience. Y'all did a great job there at football and basketball while those years that you were there. Tell us a little bit about being at Shades Valley.
I went to Shades Valley in 77 and the fall of 77. And I took the job. Robert called me, and I went up there and interviewed for the basketball job. And as I went in, I knew as much about football as a woman on the streets back then. I mean, I knew how to line people up and all that stuff like that. And I learned some stuff at Vincent. I learned some stuff at Pelham, but I did not know that much about it. And I talked to Robert, and he liked me, and we got along, so I came in. I did his JV, and so for the first couple, 2-3 years, you know, I just did JV football, and he had a great staff. It was unbelievable staff. In fact, a couple of them went on to Alabama. It was a graduate assistant down there and everything else, but he had a great staff when I first got there, so I was learning football. And he taught me everything I knew about football. I'm telling you what, from the defense to the offense, how to plan practices, how to do off season, everything else, and how to work out in the weight room. I mean, he was unbelievable what he could do with what he did. And so about 80, 81, you know, all the coaches had left and everything else. So I was still there. So we were sitting out there fixing a practice for our first game. And he said, you know, all the signals for defense. And I said, no, I don't know all of them. He said, well, you better learn it because you're calling them this week.
That sounds like Robert. That sounds just like you.
And from then on, from about 81 on, till about 97, when me and him did it together, and we had some other coaches come in and do some jobs with us, but he gave me free rein with it for a little while, and to be honest with you, it really helped me coaching basketball defensively because I applied some defensive drills from things that I had learned from basketball to football and football to basketball, you know, from that situation.
That's a pretty good situation, too. And Shades Valley at that time, they were right in front of the zoo. I mean, where the old Shades Valley was. And If you watched Shades Valley play basketball, I'm going to tell you right now, those kids could flat play, and it was a show because they could play. And then Owen, let me ask you something. Did you and Herman Watts ever play slow pitch softball together?
Yes.
What was the name of that team? We used to play Herman everywhere, and I didn't know you then.
Yeah, it was Graham Real Estate and J.P. Graham and stuff like that. And we had a name, Montevallo, down there. We had a bunch of names, but J.P. Graham was the main one.
Well, that was
– I can tell you – let me tell you a story. I can remember Billy Livings pitching for you and you playing shortstop, and you and Billy got into it, and Billy turned around and slammed the ball on the ground and yelled at you and intimidated us so bad down there at Lagoon Park in Montgomery. We didn't know what was going on then, but that was funny back then.
Yeah, we had good times. We had good times. Billy Livings had moved me from shortstop to third base, and then when people started slapping the ball, he'd make me play up. And no. He said, "You're the only one I'm going to put up there." And so we had a love-hate relationship, but I did. I love Billy Livings. But that was fun. That was good softball. We played a lot of good softball in those days, and I know you loved it as much as I did.
I did.
We got about a minute left in this segment, but I want to talk a little bit about basketball and inner-city basketball with you, because when I got to Banks at the time, followed Clint Langley or Longley, whichever his name was. I think he coached at Shades Valley at one time. But
I followed him, yes.
Did you? Well, we both followed him. And, they hadn't won a game for a long time at Banks. And Clint had left me a bunch of notes and stuff like that. But I'm interested to hear what your – I know you loved it. You love playing inner-city teams. You love playing Cap Brown. You love playing the guys and even the White Shadow over at Hayes. I want to talk a little bit about that, but kind of tell me how you set your schedule in those days, and it's like 45 seconds here. Tell us how you set your schedule with those inner-city teams.
Well, when I first got there, we couldn't beat the White Jefferson County teams at Shays Valley.
Right.
And so we had to learn how to beat them first, and then there's no way we was going to beat an inner-city team. And getting them to come to Shays Valley was the thrill, but the thing that helped us the most was scheduling them in the Shays Valley tournament.
Right.
And we got them over at our place, and then we started going into the Fair Park and all that place like that, and we had to get our kids believing they could play with them. And they were playing with them in ninth grade, but by the time they got to us, they were scared to death of them.
Yeah. All right, hold it right there. When we return, we're going to continue talking to Owen Butts, recently inducted into the AHSAA Hall of Fame. He's in just about every Hall of Fame he can be in. And we're going to get into some officiating, too, because this guy's a baseball aficionado. I'm just telling you. And his wife put him in some good places to umpire baseball. And if he didn't like it, she didn't care, I don't think. I think Sue was always putting him in some good places. Take care. We'll be right back with Owen Butts.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland. We're visiting with Owen Butts, recently inducted into the AHSAA Hall of Fame. And let me give you some numbers here about this guy, because this will tell you a lot about him. During his tenure at Shades Valley, Owen's team won the Jefferson County Tournament 14 times, won 13 area and region championships, had three Final Four appearances in the state tournament. The 1980 team won 30 games, and 15 others won 20 or more games. He was named the Jefferson County Coach of the Year 9 times. His overall record at Shades Valley was 417 and 190. Also, he was an assistant coach on football teams that won 130 games and made two state final appearances. Owen, that is a backpack full of success, pal.
I told somebody the other day, they asked me, they said, you know, what was it like? And I said, you got to understand, we had some of the greatest parents that sent us some of the best athletes that let us coach. And you know, it helped having some great athletes. You know that. I mean, you're only as good as athletes that you coach. But I'm telling you what, we had some of the greatest parents you ever seen in your life. And they let us coach them kids hard. And I still talk to these kids, not kids no more. They're all 50-something years old now.
yeah, that's right.
But, it's unbelievable how good they are. And I have to talk to them all the time and everything else. So, but I still talk to them. But, yeah, it was great. It was fantastic what we went through with the people we had there.
Well, and certainly after 20 years there, I think the next stop was at Jess Lanier as a head basketball coach, and also the D.C. in football. He was 35-20 at his 20-5 record there. And, you know, were you with Carol Cox then? Was that who was there?
Carol was there then, yes.
And when y'all played football, you played with the darkest football that you could put in a bag. And we played you at Prattville, and we never could find a ball. Never could find a ball. And you had offensive linemen that were about 5'10", 5'11", and weighed 280 to 300.
They were huge.
It's the biggest offensive lines I can ever remember. And you must have had a real easy job defensively, because you probably had speed on defense. But that had to be two exciting years for you to work with Carol there with that football talent.
Well, first time I went in there with him, and we were talking about first couple of weeks, and we played a team out of Atlanta, and we were 0-2 or whatever. And
yeah.
He come in there and he said, "What we going? You know, we got to do something. You know, we can't stop nobody and nothing else like this." And I said, "Well, Carol, we got all these big lard butts up there in the front." And I said, we got more speed than anybody you ever seen in your life. I said, let's put these guys that are 6'2", 6'3", on the defensive line, can run 4.5 40s. I don't care if they weigh 185, 190 pounds, they can run.
That's right.
And that's what we did. And I'm telling you what, we shut down everybody. Yeah. I mean, even the power teams and everything else, it was just so much talent over there at Bessemer.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, the talent. So it was fun there, too.
What was that school, Coach, that I remember one year, I can't remember what year it was, there was a school that closed down. It had two really good, I think it was linebackers. Was it Abrams High School?
Abrams.
And those two kids came to Jess Lanier, if I'm not mistaken. I'll never forget hearing, and I was like, Lord have mercy. And those two kids could play.
Well, you know, they had two schools over there, and it closed Abrams before I got there. But anyway, they had Abrams and they had Jess Lanier, and they were both good in football and basketball.
Right.
And both of them came to my Christmas tournament several times, both of them together. And, I mean, they were dominating and everything. And one was like 3A and the other one was like 4A. But it was unbelievable. But when they shut it down, it was the whole – community of Bessemer was different. There was a north side, a south side, a west side, a east side. And, it just the groups together, and that's what went to school there. And it was tough getting them together sometimes. But, when you got them together, boy, there were some players there. And I'm telling you what, I had a kid named Matt Tyler that played for me there that went, signed with Alabama, went up in North Carolina. But this kid was about 6'6", 6'7". Weighed about 300 pounds and can run like a deer. We went to Jasper and played up there and played Walker. And they were running the run and shoot. Nobody had seen a run and shoot that much here at Alabama at the time. And we went to a 3-man line and put Mac on the right. And the quarterback couldn't throw it to his left because Mac would jump in the air and knock every pass down, So. I mean, that's the greatest coaching move I ever made, putting that stud over there, So, but yes, we had talent running. It was unbelievable.
Then, after you left Jess Lanier, you really left and went to a different spot. You joined Bill Clark, I guess. I guess Bill was there in 99. as a head basketball coach and the defensive coordinator. And I would assume, did you still played in that old gym downtown away from the school at Prattville, right?
No. They built a new school.
They built a new school out there,
and they had the auditorium and everything there together, you know, where they had a stage on behind you and everything.
Right.
And they had seating back there and everything. They had no dressing rooms and all that stuff, but they still had all that back there, you know. But they had built a new school there.
And you were probably, I don't know if Benny Justice had won a bunch, but you went in there and your teams won. You were like 35-20, and football team was 16-4. And this was your last go for a while. Talk just a little bit about Prattville.
Bill called me, and he took the job. He had been at Hoover as a defensive coordinator for Rush Probst.
Yeah.
And after they got through in the spring, he left there, and he came to Prattville in like June or July.
Yeah.
And he called me, and he said, would you be interested in coming up here? And down here that time. And
yeah.
I went down there and met with him and everything. This is like the first week of August.
Wow.
And he was putting his staff together and we were meeting. I mean, we walked out there and I thought I was at Jess Lanier with the talent they had at Prattville at that time. I mean, it was unbelievable talent, you know.
Yeah.
And we hadn't been in the weight room. And I ain't going to tell you this. This is the truth. We had about 6-7 of them that were ineligible. And they failed and everything else. And so we couldn't find out how to get them eligible. Well, we talked to Jimmy Perry down there, I believe, and they had a place there in Montgomery where you could go about a week and a half get all your
– Get your
all your – and we got that in, and, boy, we got some talent in there. Thanks to Jimmy Perry, he told us all about that stuff down there. And so Jimmy was our greatest savior back then. You know,
I love that.
But when I went in for basketball, they were I had Roman Harper and Ronnie Harper. And I had another couple of guys that could play, but Roman was the best one. And the only bad thing about it was Sidney Lanier won the state the year I was there. And they went undefeated. I think they lost to us at home, but they lost a couple of games. But they were pretty good. So the talent in Montgomery at that time was unbelievable, too.
Yeah.
I enjoyed my time at Prattville. That was really nice.
Yeah. It's a good place. Got about a minute here, and I want to finish out your coaching. You've then volunteered with Marty Smith at John Carroll for 2 years. And you guys, that may have been the best team. You would know better than me. Compare that basketball team in 2003, 36-0, the last undefeated basketball team in Alabama to win a state championship.
Well, I'll start by telling you, Marty played AAU basketball for me in the summertime.
Right.
And when we played against him during the year in the regular season, he'd do something and I'd correct him on the court out there and say, Marty, you can't do that. He'd be playing for Irwin, and I'd be telling him, don't be doing that. Anyway, he used to get on to me about that. You can't coach me when I'm on the other team like that and all like that. But when I went to John Carroll, he told me, he said, Owen, we got talent galore. And we had DeMar Carroll and we had Ronald Steele, you know, and them two were unbelievable. I mean, they were just unbelievable. When something would go wrong, Ronald Steele would just do it. I'm just telling you, Ronald Steele made us like he was, and DeMar came on as he did.
Yeah.
I think it may be the best team ever in the state, I'll be honest with you.
That's fun. That's neat. When we come back, we're going to finish it up, and then we're going to talk about some baseball umpiring because this guy was a gem. I'm telling you, he's good. When we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, we'll visit with Owen Butts, our legend this weekend.
For your next commercial or residential project, it's Blue Water Millwork and Marvin Windows with showrooms in Mobile, Daphne, Hattiesburg, and Pensacola. Blue Water Millwork is your local windows expert here to help fulfill your vision with windows and doors that are perfect for you. Marvin Windows and Doors are beautifully crafted with a wide array of options. Complement your vision and create a new favorite space within your home. Blue Water Millwork and Marvin Windows has an experienced and professional sales, delivery, and service staff. The best team on the Gulf Coast at Blue Water Millwork and Marvin and windows.
Hey there, everybody. Bob Baumhauer here, letting you know that we understand that times are tough and we truly believe value matters. So, by popular demand, we brought back our Inflation Bites menu featuring scratch-made meals that will make the whole family smile, and your wallet, too. Menu items start at just $7.99, and any entree comes with a free beverage. Try our classic tailgate burger for just $8.99, or our hearty Bam Bam chicken platter for $9.99. Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Legendary fun, legendary food.
Savings, selection, customer satisfaction. That's Eastern Shore Toyota. Rush for big fall markdowns on hundreds of new Toyotas. Like RAV4s and Highlanders, save up to $6,100. Yes, drive away today in your new RAV4 or Highlander and save up to $6,100. Or get as low as 0% financing. Plus, get a lifetime warranty, identity protection, theft protection, and more. Hurry to Eastern Shore Toyota, I-10 exit 38. Passionate for customer satisfaction.
Good call or bad call, officials always have the final say in sports. And at Alpha Insurance, we know it's important for you to have the final say on the insurance plan we build for you. You'll have peace of mind knowing we'll work hard to get you the lowest rates and best discounts available. Alpha Insurance, always a good call. In Mobile, call Alpha agent Hayden Williams at 251-661-9957 or stop by our office at 6207 Cottage Hill Road.
It's almost time for the big game. All your friends are coming over to watch, but oh, you forgot to get food for the party. Don't worry, head over to Janino's Pizza. There are two locations to better serve you, in Gulf Shores and Daphne. Call ahead for pickup or eat inside, where there are plenty of big screen TVs to watch the big game. Janino's Pizza in Daphne and Gulf Shores. Visit janinospizza.com for the call-in number, menu, and location. That's JANINOSpizza.com. Janino's Pizza.
Success doesn't take a season off. At No Off Season in Daphne, athletes train year-round, building speed, strength, confidence, and character. With expert coaching and a Christ-centered environment, No Off Season develops more than athletes, it develops leaders. As 1 Timothy 4:8 reminds us, physical training has value, but godliness has value for all things. Train with purpose, compete with confidence, live with impact. No Off Season, located on Friendship Road in Daphne. Visit trainnos.com.
Sudden cardiac arrest kills thousands of children, teens, and young adults each year. Most of them have undiagnosed heart conditions. Many of these deaths could have been prevented with a quick and painless test. Early detection can save lives. Get the facts and have your child's heart screened. Heart for Athletes is a nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting youth from sudden cardiac arrest. Find out how you can make your schools, sporting events, and practices heart safe. Visit heartforathletes.org.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Yeah, you got to add a couple of feet to that. And maybe 80 or 90 yards on the drive, but it's not Randy. Playing in California today, though. He and Vinny are playing some of the finest golf courses in that state. They're out around San Diego. I don't think they played same ones I played, but they're hitting the golf ball. We're talking to Owen Butts. You're talking about one of the best basketball coaches that ever lived in this state. And he's a guy that, even retired. When he came out of retirement, Owen, you went back to Pelham. And I think that's – if my thinking is right, isn't that where you won your 500th game? Was it Pelham when you went back out of retirement?
Yes. Bobby Hayes, who was a mayor at the time.
Yeah, he's a former policeman. He's a former
SWAT guy, yeah, in Birmingham. Yep. Yes, and he was a mayor down there for about 25 years. And anyway, when I first went there, he was just a SWAT in the SWAT unit then, but now he became mayor. And I got Bobby in the umpiring too, baseball umpiring too.
I didn't know that.
It was funny from that standpoint. And yeah. But he called me and he said, we got to have this program going downhill in basketball. I got to have some help. So year after I won the state of John Carroll with Marty, I went back down there and it was bad. I had 7 players that first year.
Ooh.
We developed it back and I stayed there a couple of years and 3 or 4 years and it got back to the point where it's pretty good now. So, but it got back into the getting the young kids involved and everything else. So yeah, I went back to Pelham, and I tell you what, it's tough to go back to a place. That's unbelievable, because the people down, and now the mayor down there now played for me in football.
So, really?
I mean, everywhere I go, somebody's played for me or whatever. You know, I coached them or whatever, and they talked to me about being the mayor of that town or whatever else. And
yeah.
I don't know if you knew this, but Matt Hubbard is coached with me at Shays Valley.
Yeah.
And now he's the mayor of Sylacauga.
That's right. Yeah, I did know that. And I know Matt casually. And I did know that that y'all knew each other. Your name came up at something while I was there. And
it's going to come up a lot with him. Yeah.
That's okay. You know, Owen, one of the things I think that you've always given, you've given back to sports, and you spent most of a lot of your adult life umpiring baseball. And you and Sue, I don't think there's a better combination of husband and wife who ran a baseball umpires association than you and your wife. Kind of talk about how y'all got into that.
Well, when I graduated in 73, in the spring of 73, I had a bunch of coaches in Shelby County come to me, and they said, we all the coaches here just umpired baseball games here in Shelby County.
Yeah.
And Herman Watts was in it, and Ellie Glasscock and all them, and they said, come on, you can help us. And I said, all right, what I got to have? And they told me what I had to have, L.O.L. Belko, blue shirt, and all that stuff like that. And, you know, and had black pants at that time. You know, but anyway, so I'd go with them, and the first time I went, we got $20. And Herman said, I'm taking a plate. And I said, hey, I get 12 and you get 8. And that's what we got. He got 12 for the plate and I got 8 for the bases. And,
that's right.
And that's where we started from. And so, you know, that fall I went to Vincent, and I still came back and did all the baseball games in Shelby County. And then in 75, I went to Pelham, and all the old leadership of that group was getting older and older. So they said, you got to take it over. So I took it over in 75. As the president and running it and everything else, and been running it ever since. And as we moved on, about 77, 78, somewhere along there, I took over Hoover, Summer Parks, and Vestavia, and Shades Mountain, and all that stuff over the mountain. And Sue ran all the summer stuff and all the high school stuff, and she booked it all. And we didn't have no computers back then. You did it on a big old poster board, you know.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious, you know. But we got everybody there, and them young, and everybody loved it because these young kids would come in and do the, you know, 7 and 8 year olds and all that stuff like that, and just getting them dressed right was a bang thing, and it was more babysitting than anything else in that young group. You know how that is, you know. So,
tell me when you first got into college umpiring.
In the late, in about the middle '80s, of all people, Tommy Walker was at.
Sanford. Yeah.
And he called me and he said, and I had another guy named Steve Miller with me. He said, y'all got to come over here and call my college games at Sanford. And I said, Tommy, I don't have enough time. I just don't. Anyway, he talked us into it. And we go over and do their non-conference games and some of the conference games on the weekends. And we did some games over at Sanford. So I started about the middle '80s, and then about the '90s, John Guthrie from the SEC kept on getting on to me because his son was playing at Berry, and John was doing the baseball and the basketball officiating stuff.
Yeah,
and John told me, I need you to start in '88. He started the SEC baseball group, you know, and he said, I need you in it. And I said, no, I put him a couple of guys in. I said, I can't do it. All the games are in the afternoon, and I couldn't get away from school to do that, you know, because I was still doing basketball and football, you know. And so he said, okay. So anyway, about 90, I started doing some other stuff and went to non-stuff in junior college and all that stuff.
Yeah.
About 90 with Hal Rozelle.
Yeah.
And Larry Gray. And so we went to Tuscaloosa, and that's where we had an association. And Charlie I can't think of Charlie's last name now.
From anyway, Charlie Richards from Tarrant.
Richards, Charlie Richards, yeah. Up in North Birmingham, and he was doing Auburn,
yeah.
And Al was doing all Alabama stuff. So I got to do a little bit of Alabama stuff starting about 90 and started doing junior college and started doing the 3 and 4 year schools. And in 95, I took over.
Yeah.
The ACU, which we called it, Alabama Collegiate Conference, and Tony Thompson told us, you got to change your name. Nobody wants to. You can't go to Mississippi State being Alabama Collegiate Conference. And I said, okay, so we changed it to the Association of Collegiate Umpires. And so that was, it worked out being ACU again. So I took over about 95 and booking it. And we had a great group. We had some really good umpires.
Yeah, you did. You had some really good ones. We didn't make any money in junior college. I mean, we drive 3 hours, do a doubleheader and make $100. I mean that. And but now you guys that were doing when Guthrie took over the SEC, did Tony Thompson take it after him? But Tony did it for a long time.
Yeah, Tony was working for him in the SEC at the time. And so when John got out of it, John wanted to get rid of basketball and just stay with basketball.
Right.
And so that's what he did.
Right.
You know, I can tell you the funny story was we went to Southern Union, and David Guthrie, who was John's son, was playing at Southern Union when we went up there with Jabbo. And I don't forget who Jabbo was playing that day, but it didn't matter. The guy with me said, Guthrie's going to be there. I want to go up there. And because I want him to see me in the SEC. So he put me in the SEC.
Right.
And I don't know what Jabbo, we must have heard him say something about that because Jabbo went all over him. He dumped Jabbo every time the game there was and everything else. And I told Guthrie afterwards, don't never come to one of my games no more. Everybody thinks you're here to spy on everybody. You
That's
know,
funny.
Whatever. But yeah, I got tickled at it. But
did you, good, but, did you not have to go to Tony Thompson's camp?
Yeah, we went a couple of years, and you know how it is up there. You go up there, and you go to Atlanta, right outside of Atlanta, and do yep. them games where you got $50 a game, and $5 of it went to Tony. So,
right, right.
And you had to call 2 games a day, and
yeah.
all that stuff like that. And but you know, he come and did camps for me in Birmingham. He come and did camps with us, and. But he was good for us. He got most of us in after that, and that's why we got into conferences when he got into there. So,
yeah. Well, y'all certainly had a good group, and those guys from Tuscaloosa, Hal, and those guys were really good too. And we got skipped in Montgomery. We just got skipped because none of us would go to Tony's camp. I couldn't afford to pay $600 to go to Tony's camp. And so that was a lot of us. That I don't know how you just had to be in that, in that circle.
Please.
Yeah, you had to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
But there were good umpires, and boy, they're making a lot of money now, though. They're making
about 2019 and somewhere 2018, somewhere along in there, the money went up big time.
Yeah,
and then they started going to 3-man crews for everybody. And I got so tickled when Brian Shoup was at UAB, and I was telling him, Brian, you know, he come from Birmingham Southern, and I told Brian, I said, Brian, everybody's going to 3-man.
Yeah.
He said, I said, y'all got to go to 3-man. That was mandating it. And he said, oh, and I'll raise money for baseball. I'll never raise money for umpires.
That's
and
right.
I told him, I thought, okay, fine. So
that's funny.
I got the point across, and I got on Brian about that every time I saw him after that. But when we went to 3-man, I tell you what, Rick, I think all of us could still do the 4-man. I'll be honest with you.
Well, I do too. I do too, but it'd have to be 4-man. And really, we need 6. We need to do the lines too.
Well, I did the 6-man in the World Series and all that and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm telling you what, in being in right field in a 6-man,
easy.
That's like stealing.
Yeah, that is stealing. You're right. You're right. That's almost like third base in a 4-man crew. I mean, you know, you just get to listen to all the comings and goings out of the dugout. That's all. Owen, thank you for taking a big part of your Saturday morning out with us. You deserve to be recognized as a legend, and because you've done everything that coaches would ever want to hope to accomplish. And congratulations on a great career, and thank you for joining us this morning, pal.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me.
It's been great. That's Owen Butts, head basketball coach all over Birmingham area, and a great, great baseball official. He and his wife, Sue, have done miracles for baseball in inner city Birmingham and all over the area there. When we return, Mark will have the Camp Grace segment right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Remember those childhood dreams when you and your trusty cat could do anything? Well, now you're living the dream and experiencing the thrill and power of cat performance, technology, and value for real. Hey, those who give their best deserve the best. So invest in your business. Invest in yourself. Invest in a cat. The best machines you can own. Because your first cat shouldn't be your last.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
This morning I want to talk about something that's been on my heart a little bit. It's about coaching through difficult decisions. And it's and it can be, you know, coaching is coaching. It can be coaching in a business. It can be coaching a little league baseball team. It can be, you know, a college football team, a professional team, whatever it is. But coaching can be very rewarding. But there are a lot of things that are very difficult, and it's usually not drawing up plays, and it's usually not, you know, setting the lineup or getting the you know, calling the plays during the game. It's making difficult decisions about different things, about, let's say, who starts, who doesn't start, who travels, and then even harder conversations. That sometimes can disappoint young people that we care about and their family. But they have to be done, you know, and that's part of the job as a coach. It has to be done. James 1:5 reminds us, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. If I can remember that, if I try to figure out a decision based on not trying to find a fault, but finding what's best, it usually gets easier for me. As coaches, we all of us are called to lead our team, hopefully with fairness, wisdom. Sometimes I really falter in that. Grace. Our decisions should never be based on emotion. Too many times, coaches have a tendency, I know I do, I shouldn't just say coaches, I have made decisions based on emotion. But what is best for the team and what helps shape the character of the player is where our decisions should come from. That's where it should come from. The truth is, every difficult decision is not just a decision, it's an opportunity. It is an opportunity. It's an opportunity as a decision maker, as the coach, to grow, to question yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? It teaches integrity, perseverance, and trust. Young men, young women may not always agree with the coach's decision. Their parents may not agree, you know, with the coach's decision. But years from now, they'll remember whether they were treated honestly and fairly. That's what they're going to remember. They still may not like it, but at least they know they were dealt with fairly. And so I have to ask God to give myself every opportunity I can to help me make the right decision, the courage to stand by that decision, and to care for every player along the way. We have to make decisions sometimes that are on our coaching staff about the coaches we've got, whether they're doing what I want them to do or not, if I was the head coach. Or if it was just a colleague who I coached with and I don't think they're doing things that are right or wrong or whatever. I have to talk to them about that and do it out of love and respect and honesty. I think when you do that, you'll be viewed in that vein. And by being able to do that makes a huge difference. If I make decisions based on my emotion or what I feel like ought to just boom without having or what it's done to me, I make the wrong choice. Mm-hmm. So making a decision can be very difficult. It's the same thing that carries on in our own personal lives. Make decisions about our kids, making decisions about our families, making decisions about what we do in our life are all things that need to be done with a thought of honesty and respect that the coach and myself, I have to look at me and say, okay, I'm going to make this decision based on what is best for the player, the team, whatever it needs, and taking all those things into consideration. Being upfront, being communicative, and honestly, I think helps us make decisions. And all we got to do is ask for help. All we got to do is get on our knees and pray. God says, He told us in that verse, you know, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom about anything, whatever it is, ask God, and He'll help you.
You know, James is one of my favorite books, The Brother of Jesus. It's it gives you direct information on how to handle situations that you might not have a clue how to handle. And I was in James earlier this week, and I was really struggling with the things that were going on, and as far as our families and losing those two young men, and just a particular scripture hit me right at home. And in essence, what he was telling us is to stay near, stay close, but keep your distance. And I didn't quite get that. I didn't. Stay near, stay close, but keep your distance. Well, you better keep your distance, because if you don't have that wisdom that he's talking about, then all you're going to do is bring harm to the situation. Right. So that's wisdom. That's what that is. That's wisdom, and that's the way he showed me that this week. And so, you know, when things happen, Mark, like that, and the book of James helped me with this, and I need a lot of help with it, is how do you approach those situations, whether it be trying to discipline a coach that you hired, trying to discipline or to help lead a coach who you didn't hire but is on the staff with you, and he's not going about it the right way, and he's young, and nobody's ever taught him how to do it. Well, I think that's one of the things that, as older coaches, we've got to be able to do that, and you said that very well today. I mean, you did. That's and you do that. I know you do it. Heck, you do it with your son. I love that part of it. I love that. And Landon just looks you in the eye and says, yes, sir. You know, there's no questions. There's just yes, sir. And then he goes off and says, God, daddy.
Why do I listen to him?
I love this. I love this 2 hours, Mark. It's always the highlight of our week. And we miss Randy, but we appreciate everybody being involved with us today. We appreciate all of our guests. We appreciate Catherine Spurgeon, Kate Wood, Owen Butts. Boy, it's been a great Saturday. Please ask you to keep the Hensley family, and the Mosteller family in your prayers. And also to William Tanner and Bo Carrington. Well, we wish nothing but the best for them, and we're praying for you every day, boys. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, He is always with you. God bless you. See you here same time, same place next week. From Mark, me, and the best producer in radio, Steve Stanley, we'll see you here, same place, same time next week.